Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship. I was just having a tiny little panic then because I was looking there thinking, where's my first sheet? Don't do that to me. But it's here. Welcome to all those of you who are joining us on Zoom this morning as well. We pray that you will have an equally blessed time at home as we will have here worshiping the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Lord God, whether we have rushed or taken our time in coming to church this morning, we have come ill-prepared. You have invited us to meet with you. You have created space for time together that will affect all the other moments of our week. You have called us to take time to recall your love and your mercy. Yet we have come in casually, as if we were going shopping, Lord. We may even have lists in our minds of the things that we want you to sort out, of feelings and emotions that we want to gain, or maybe we want them to comfort us. We're unwilling to put in the effort, Lord, sometimes. We have not prepared ourselves for true worship. So, Lord, stop us now and help us as we wonder at the scope of your love. You care for each of us as if you care for each one alone. Help us face today to receive what you want to give and the wonder of your wondrous love, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our first hymn straight away. And it's... Lord, for the years... One, I think all of us should know this, shouldn't we? So let's stand and sing together. Lord, for the year. I'm showing you a picture of what's on the back of our church because of what's on it. What's on it? A prayer tree. I like to think of that as not the balcony wall, but the prayer wall. And in the middle of it is our prayer tree. The hands lifting our prayers up to the Lord. So this morning, what I want to do is take a bit of time with you to actually think about what we ought to be praying about as individuals, as church together, as a community, a fellowship in Christ. What could we be praying for? The idea of the prayer tree was that we would come in and we could put prayers on the tree. And then on Tuesdays, when they meet for the prayer morning, on a Tuesday at 10:30, that those prayers are currently being prayed for. If we want to be a church of power, a church of presence in our community, then we need to be a church of prayer. Amen? Yes. Now on the wall it says Philippians 4:6. But how many of us know what Philippians 4:6 actually says? Well, here it is. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now I've included the following verse, particularly because it's one of my favourites in Scripture. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love that line. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is us bringing our worries and our concerns, a passion for the future and God's ministry to the Lord in prayer, and then we get something in return. We get a peace that has power to guard your heart. That's a nice thought, isn't it? That God's peace can guard your heart. I love that thought. So this morning I want to spend this a little bit of time. We're actually going to do the exercise where I'm actually going to pass some of these out. I've got some leaves here, and there are, I think, some little birds. I think they're doves, are they supposed to be, that we can put on the tree at the back. But I want us to get together, and I want us to encourage one another in prayer, because the idea of prayer, it's not that you just come along with a shopping trolley at Tesco's, right, rock up to the bottom of the cross and say, Lord, here's my shopping list. It's not really the way it works, is it? The idea is that in encouraging each other in prayer, we also, when we receive the answers to prayer, we can share those answers. We don't often do that, do we? How often do we share the answers to prayer? I love hearing about people when they pray and then they get an answer back, and God shows his love by answering their prayer. Not necessarily, not always the way they wanted, but certainly in the way they needed. It's a great encouragement, isn't it, to hear about the answers to prayer. Right, so what I want you to do this morning, I've got some pens, I've got these sticky notes here. I want you to think about what we can be praying for as a church, as individuals. We can be praying for each other, okay? And I want our prayer wall with our prayer tree on it to fill up, okay? And I've written a few things up here just to give you some ideas. Pray for all the different things that are going on in the church. And all I would say is keep your answers simple on the bits of paper. And if you want to pray something for somebody, just put their name on it. We don't need a synopsis of their life history on here. We don't need their personal business all. But if we want to pray for someone, that's fine. More importantly, if you want something for prayer, put it on here. And we will pray for it. And it'll go up there on the wall. And what we will see as the weeks go by is we will come back and we will move these prayers from prayers asked to prayers answered. And we will see God's love in action through his prayer. Wouldn't that be a lovely idea? I think so. So, let me grab some pens And what I want you to do is, you don't have to do this on your own. Turn around in small huddles and groups and talk to each other. Encourage each other with prayer and talk about this. And we'll fill some of these out and we'll stick them up on that wall and we'll be a church of prayer. We've got some pens. I'm going to put a little bit of music on while we're doing this. Right. Am I turned on? Yeah. I didn't want this exercise to exclude people from Zoom. So what I'm going to say to you is, if you put something that you'd like to pray for in the Zoom chat, I'm sure Amy might be able to either take a photo of it and jot it down, and then we can write it on one of these leaves after the service, and I'll put them up. Is that all right, Amy? Sorry, I put you on the spot. Brilliant. Okay, carry on, folks. Well, our tree looks like it's springtime because it's beginning to show signs of life. Bless you all for that. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, we lift our prayers to you, Lord. We've written them on pieces of paper and we've stuck them on our wall, Lord. And we pray for your blessing on the prayer tree. We pray, Lord, that as we put our things up there in faith, and as we lift the things that concern us, trouble us, and the things that we want to shout out and praise you about, Lord, that you will hear our prayers as we know you've promised. And Father, let this wall become a wall of evidence. The evidence that you are a loving God. It's not just a nice wall to look at, Lord. It's a functional wall of encouragement. Let us encourage us not just to continue praying, but to increase the amount of praying that we do on a daily and weekly basis, not just as individuals, Lord, but as a church as well. Let this be a wall of evidence, a tapestry of love, Lord. Your love in action, caring for us, caring for others, caring for our community, caring, Lord, for the world that you have created. Heavenly Father, we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Let us, the music group are going to come up now and we're going to sing together. We're going to lift our voices in praise to God now. Love a bit of singing. Means we're all singing the same words, aren't we? We're as one when we sing our praises to God. But, you know, I recognize, and you only have to look at that wall and the prayers that have gone up there, that many of those prayers are about the struggles of life. They're about the things that are not so pleasant, that we'd like not to have to endure. But you know what? We cry out and we bless God's name even when it's difficult, don't we? Because we know that God is worthy of our praises no matter what is going on. We're going to sing the first one of two hymns. The first one is called Blessed Be Your Name, and this is a hymn, a song that reflects that no matter where we are, whether we're on top of the world and everything's going wonderful, or whether we're not, we're in the bottom of the valley and things are falling apart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand and sing together. Father, as we sing your praises, Father God, we know that not everything in our lives is perfect and wonderful. But Father God, that doesn't stop us from praising your name. Because Lord, you deserve our praise. You deserve all the glory, Heavenly Father. And as we stand here together, Lord, we want to raise our praises to you. We want eyes, hearts, and lives turning to you, Heavenly Father, this morning. Let's sing, Praise is Rising. Maxine's going to come and lead us in a time of prayers of intercession for us.
Okay, let's pray. In Matthew 19:26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Our Jesus, who knew he was going to die the most horrendous death, had this faith in our Father. Father God, we worship you. We praise you. We come to you this morning. We ask once more for your forgiveness. We have struggled to love you and each other. We've ignored you. When being busy is more important, we've put ourselves first and we've caused hurt to others. We've spoken out without thinking. Forgive us, Lord. Father, we ask for a fresh start this morning, for that slate to be wiped clean once again. Today, we seek a godly relationship that encourages us to pray, that excites us to pray, that equips us to pray, and enables us to pray. May your Spirit remind us daily of this request. May your Spirit teach us how to hear your words and follow your ways. Father, we do not want to follow the ways of this world, but we want to be your servants in it. Help us to open our eyes and see what you see. Remind us that nothing is impossible with you. Help us to not be overcome by what surrounds us, but to remember nothing is impossible with you. The scriptures tell us every prayer is counted. So today we empty our hearts and we make room for your work in us. We've written things on this prayer tree this morning, Lord. Things that have touched each of us. Things that go deeper than anyone here would understand of each other. Father, I pray that there will be answer to those prayers in the coming days, weeks, months, years, and that as we see those prayers answered, that we'll move them so that we all can see your hand at work. Father, I ask that those who do get answers to prayer share with each other, that they don't feel that they are bragging, but they feel that they're sharing your glory, exploring who you are in their lives and recognizing it with each other. We ask, Father God, as we sit here this morning, that we remember we are part of the body of Christ. Each of us has a role in this church family. Each of us has a place. There is space for every single one of us. You have made that space. Help us to encourage each other to walk those paths, to help each other find the way you want us to be. Help us to be an encouraging church, Father God, an open church, a loving church. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, Acts 6. And as we've been looking at, over the last few weeks, at different characters in the Bible and different prayers in the Bible, we've had some wonderful ones, haven't we? We've seen the faith of Nehemiah, haven't we? And his amazing prayers and how way the God worked with those. And then Hannah, there's a faithful prayer, isn't it? A selfless prayer. But this morning we're going to look at another man full of faith and full of God's grace and power. And that is Stephen. So our reading comes from Acts 6. It begins at verse 8. And he goes down to Acts 7:59. Now I'm not going to read all of it because Stephen gives a bit of a sermon in the middle of it. And I'm not going to read all of that sermon, because it takes, I think, a little too long. but I'm just going to give you a quick, brief outline of what's in it, just so that you can carry on with the context. So, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So they persuaded some young men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." This roused the people, the elders and the teachers of the religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us." At this point, the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. Then the high priests asked Stephen, "Are these accusations true?" And this was Stephen's reply. And this is where Stephen goes into a conversation referencing the Old Testament, referencing prophets from the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, and others, talking about how they spoke God's truth to the people of Israel, but the people of Israel repeatedly ignored them, rebuked them, rejected them, and of course in Moses' case, they even went off and made a golden calf, and worshipped idols. Such was their rejection of the message and the word that came from God by the men he had chosen to bring them, the prophets. And Stephen reminds them of this, because he's drawing a parallel, of course, to Jesus. We pick the story up. Verse 51. "You stubborn people," Stephen says, "you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestor did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began to shout. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Some translations do say he fell asleep. I don't think it makes too much difference. Well, Stephen's one of those characters who makes a very brief entry into the Bible, and almost as soon as he comes into the show, he leaves the show. He reminds me of... I can have that back if you want. Sorry. Any Star Trek fans in the house? Dad, I know you, if you could raise your hand, you'd have to... Do you remember the original series of Star Trek? Whenever the away team beamed down to the surface, yeah, there was always a security bloke who you didn't know his face, you didn't know who he was, and he was always in a red jersey, and you knew that as soon as he was beaming down, yeah, he was getting it. He wasn't coming back. I always think of that when I think of Stephen. He comes into, he has this great mention in Acts 7 and 8, and then he's gone. And that's all we know of him. So little. But he's a crucial, an absolutely crucial character in the New Testament. Who is Stephen? Well, frankly, we don't know a lot. All we do know is that before this passage, he's chosen by the apostles as one of what I would call the first deacons of the church. Yes. He's given responsibility, seven of them are given responsibility for the day-to-day business of the community of believers which are coming together. And there's a little bit of squabbling going on. That never happened in the church, of course. And so some needed to be appointed into positions of responsibilities to sort these everyday issues of food and shelter and what people needed out. But special attention is given to Stephen, because Stephen is called faithful, and he has a faithful and spiritual walk with God. It's safe to say he had witnessed Jesus' ministry and was well known and respected amongst the apostles and the other believers that were around. He had been selected from them. Stephen's story is, as I said, a crucial catalyst in the Bible. His witness and his stoning causes the growing community to scatter. The teaching leaves Jerusalem because of the growing persecution that starts with Stephen. It begins to spread out among the regions around Jerusalem, and it keeps on moving outwards. Stephen's persecution triggers that moment of defiant faith that he has in the temple, in front of those accusers. Great strength that must have taken. They were looking to squash faith in Jesus. They thought, if we get rid of this upstart that seems to think he can walk in here and tell us that we're all wrong and that we are were wrong to put Jesus to death, no, we're not having any of that. We'll put this man to death and let that be the end of it. Well, God had other plans. Because it starts an explosion of faith. It pushes faith out of Jerusalem and into the surrounding areas. And more people begin to come to faith because of that moment. Twice, Stephen's faith is described. Acts 6:5, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And again in Acts 6:8, a man full of God's grace and power, performing amazing miracles and signs among the people. Now we know that the apostles, when they chose the seven, laid hands on them and prayed for them. Yeah? This is the crucial bit. They laid hands on them and they prayed for them. The apostles blessed these seven men, including Stephen. And their prayers are answered. Stephen, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, is in full submission to God's plan. Whether he realizes it or not at the time, a great honor is put on Stephen to stand fast in the face of lies and false accusations, to stand fast in the face of persecution, to tell the truth, to bear witness. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Bear witness sometimes. I imagine that all of us as Christians at some point have been in a situation where we thought, I could say something right now about my faith, but I'm not really feeling it. I'm just not quite there. I think right now I'll sit this one out. We've all had that moment, I'm sure. I certainly have. But Stephen does not take the easy option, because he is a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, blessed by the apostles. You know what James 5:16 says? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The apostles' prayer was powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful and effective. Stephen's faith is not a result of his own efforts. Stephen's faith is a result of a community of believers encouraging one another, building each other up in prayer, teaching and learning from one another, and growing in strength and faith. Being willing to be in submission to God's word, and then being carried by the Holy Spirit. There's a whole load of actions going on there that lead to this moment for Stephen. And we can learn something about that ourselves. If we want to be a more effective church, or if you want to be a more effective Christian, if you want to know Jesus a bit better, then it can't just be all on your own. We need to be building one another up as a community of believers. We need to be identifying what the Lord wants to do in each other. And we need to be encouraging each other in your spiritual gifts, in our spiritual gifts. And we need to be full of faith. But more than anything else, we have to be full of prayer, praying for each other. When was the last time you looked around the room when we're here on a Sunday and saw the faces and you prayed for individual people? Are we praying for each other enough? So as a community of believers, are we praying for each other? What could it look like? And I don't mean just praying for those people who are finding something difficult or struggling with ill health or some other situation that is particularly difficult for them. I'm talking about praying for each other because we recognize that God wants to do something with the person sitting next to you. He wants you to come alive. He sees potential in you that he wants to release in you so that you can be far more than you could ever be on your own. But we've got to be praying for each other. See, that's the power of prayer. That passage from James reads like this. James 5, it's verses 13 to 18. Are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. I think we've done both this morning. That's good, isn't it? Covering the bases. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you. Anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sin, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly, there was no rain would fall. No rain fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So this asks us the question, do we believe in the power of prayer? Only just by the sound of that. I'll say it again. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Yes. Come on, we have to get excited about prayer. It's a conversation we get to have with the Creator. And he promises to hear us. I think that's wonderful. I think it's amazing. It's an easy sort of thing to take for granted, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. The Bible has amazing and powerful, life-changing prayers in it. Examples that we've heard over the last few weeks. Hannah is one of them. I love that. Hannah's story is great. Prays for a child. She wants the shame of being childless taken away from her. But God can have him back. Not for my glory, Hannah, but for God's glory. What does our prayer life say about our faith? You ever thought about that? If prayer was illegal, would you be convicted? Only you can answer that, and the Lord. The Bible tells us to be persistent in our prayers, not to give up, but to keep on praying faithfully. It's not a test. It's not a test of faith. It's exercise for faith. Yeah, prayer is not a test of faith. It's exercise for faith. It's a muscle. Prayer life is a muscle that needs to be built up. So when the moment that God comes calling on you like he did on Stephen, you too will have strength and faith like Stephen. To be in obedience to the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit towards the objective that God has for you. Don't be discouraged when it feels like prayer is not answered. You know, when I was a lad, my faith failed. I felt like God had not answered my prayers, and I felt like he wasn't interested in me. I was an apprentice engineer. I was working for Weetabix at the time, and I actually was subjected to quite a bit of abuse as a young lad. I mean, apprentices generally get a bit of stick, don't they? You know, come on, you kind of put up with that. But as a Christian and as an outspoken Christian, I was persecuted. And I kept praying and I was like, why do I not feel as though I can overcome this? I didn't understand why God wasn't responding to me the way I needed him to respond to me. And the result of it in the end was that I was just crushed by it. And I walked away from faith. I said, look, I don't feel like God's interested in me. So if God's not really interested in me, then, well, do you know what? I'm not going to be interested in him. I'll best go my own way and do my own thing. But I was in error because I didn't understand how prayer worked properly. I didn't understand what the true power of prayer was, and I didn't understand how to use prayer. More to the point, I kept it mostly to myself. I didn't come to my community of believers around me and say, I'm really struggling with this. I didn't come to the elders of the church who were wiser and older than me and say, help me, I'm failing. I don't think I even spoke to my mum and dad about it much, to be honest. And in hiding it within, of course, Satan gets to play in that space, doesn't he? He gets to bend your mind. He gets to destroy your trust in Jesus. And so I walked away from my faith for many years. Prayer, of course, is a two-way radio. It's a conversation, not a monologue. It's a listen to it. You know, we've often heard, haven't we? Oh, you get two ears because you're supposed to do twice as much listening as you do speaking. Never really fully absorbed that myself, but always did a lot of speaking as a child, especially. But prayer, it's a collective conversation that we can have as a community together, not just as individuals. And it also requires us to listen collectively as a community. And of course, as a Baptist church, we believe strongly in that for leading us, don't we? That we listen collectively to the will of God and that he guides us. in that way. We can't do that unless we come together and pray, can we? If we don't pray together, we don't hear together either, do we? Of course, God answers our prayers in lots and lots of different ways. I wonder what kinds of ways you've had strange answers and moments where you've had your prayers answered in very odd ways. I know Maxine and I could probably make a whole Sunday morning service out of weird and wonderful ways we've heard prayer answered to us. Whether it be just turn the radio on and there's a song and you both burst out laughing. That's one of ours, isn't it? Because the very song that's on UCB is the one that is crying out to us. Prayer. So how should we go about it? Well, it's a big subject and I can't go through it all this morning, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say this to you. If you remember the public information adverts that were on in the 70s, remember the government spent money and these really cheesy adverts together saying, don't put your fingers in plug sockets and things like that, you know, and so on. Do you remember the one for crossing the road? There was a little sort of catchphrase thing, wasn't there, for crossing the road? That's it. Stop, look, and listen. Well, some years ago, I don't know where, I claim no ownership of this because I remember it, I heard it somewhere. Someone talking about prayer and someone said, well, stop, look, and listen is a good place to start. It's a good way to approach prayer. Stop, make time in a busy life, have a space and a place to pray. Jesus often went off alone, didn't he? He needed time alone with his Father to pray. If we don't stop and make the time and the space for prayer as individuals, but also collectively as a community of believers, then what happens is prayer gets shoved down the priority list. In fact, it almost falls off the list into the dustbin, and it just doesn't happen. So make the time. Look, stop. Stop. Make space for prayer. Give it priority. Next, I would say, look, what are you looking for? Can you see what God is doing all around you? God makes the grass grow. He makes the roses and the flowers grow on rose bushes. God answers prayer. You won't see God in the world around you if you're not actually bothering to look. What is God doing in your life? What is he saying to you? Look. Take that time to look before you even open your mouth. I drive up the bypass at Desborough every morning on the way to work. And one of the great things about that is that as the seasons change, the bypass changes colour. Now, at the moment, it's a right mucky, browny colour. You know? The trees have got no leaves on. The bushes have all got mud spattered up them. But what I when I look at that, I think to myself, this particular season is where God is tending to the roots of these plants. They're strengthening them. They're having a rest. They're being built up and strengthened underneath, out of sight where you can't see. Because soon, they will burst back into life, won't they, in the spring. We have to look and see what God is doing so that our prayer life can be effective, so that we can give thanks to the things that we see God doing. Of course, it's stop, look, and listen. What does God have to say to me today? How is he speaking with me? Through a song, perhaps, through a daily reading, through a friend, a Christian brother or sister. Because I know that God longs to speak with us every day. That's how much he loves each one of us. So we have to listen to what the Lord is asking of us. And the listening comes before we fill the trolley up with all the stuff that we would like the Lord to do for us. Yeah, we have to stop, we have to look, and then we have to listen. And that will help. It's a way of starting. It's a way to help your prayer life. Think of it like that. Of course, now it's safe to cross over the road. Or, should I say, now it's safe to cross over into a time of request. Lay your concerns, your worries, and your fears before God. And have confidence in the Lord that he will do something with them. There's a lovely bit of scripture in John's Gospel. Because this interaction we have, this conversation we have with God, is about a relationship. It's about a deepening relationship, a growing relationship. Now, it's perhaps a verse that you're well formed with. It's John 15. It says, live in me, Jesus says. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by joining to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separate, you can produce nothing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown onto the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. That is a lovely promise to think about, to claim, isn't it? That doesn't mean you can have whatever you want. Yeah? Jesus goes on to say, I've loved you the way my Father has loved you. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. One of the big strengths of a faithful prayer life is that you actually make yourself at home in Christ's love, and he makes himself at home in your heart too. It deepens the relationship, and deepening the relationship, what happens is you don't ask for what you want. Stephen didn't ask for what he wanted, did he? Stephen might have shouted, oh, shields up. I don't want these stones hitting me. Lord, do something. No. Stephen was in God's, was following God's plan 100% all the way. And if that cost him his life, then so be it. That wasn't what was important to Stephen. What was important to Stephen, as it turns out, was that them stoning him because he was telling them the truth would be a sin counted heavily against their souls, and he didn't want that for them. I think that's absolutely bonkers. That is an amazing thing to think. How could anybody possibly... Someone is murdering them. How can you possibly... Lord, don't count that against them. How could he say that? Because he was a man full of grace and God's love. Because the Holy Spirit dwelt within him. Stephen, he's a bit like Daniel in the lion's den, isn't he, at that moment? The wrath of the corrupt believer. Stephen must have had a powerful and effective prayer life. There's no other way he could have stood faithfully against such persecution. Stephen's prayer mirrors Jesus on the cross, doesn't it? To his last breath, Stephen has not one ounce of selfish intent. Just faithful. Just loving. Face shining like an angel. He pleads with them. Some translations say that Stephen fell asleep. Well, regardless of translation, Stephen's prayer is answered. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Jesus takes him. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Because he knew that that's what Jesus wanted of him at that moment. Down to his own life. If we want great things for one another, and for our fellowship, if we want to see a revival of people following Jesus in our society, in Desborough, then it will take great faithful prayer. Are you in? Are you in?
Yes.
Thank you. Come on. Let's get praying. Let's ignite the fire of faith. Let the Holy Spirit shine. Let the glory of God invade our streets and our community. Everyone, no matter how old or how young you are, can pray. Just stop, look, and listen. And then say what the Lord puts on your heart. It's all about glorifying God. And so our last hymn is going to be a hymn. Brian wants to come and play. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Let's be a church on fire with prayer, faith. Let's all aim to be like Stephen and follow the Lord. Let's stand and sing together.
Oh,
express how important it is that we build one another up. Next week, when Nick takes the service, I'm going to remind you that he was asking us to bring a personal psalm that means something to you along. And he's asking if there be one or two of you that would read those psalms and perhaps tell us why that psalm is so important to you. And this is part of the process of building each other up, strengthening each other up. So I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm just reminding you of that psalm for next week. Heavenly Father, we come to the time at the end of our worship, Lord, and we pray for your blessing upon our lives. We pray that you will surround us, bring your hedge of protection around us, Lord, because we know that we will be under attack from Satan. But you are stronger, Jesus. You are the mighty one who has conquered all things. Help us, Lord, to be a church that prays for one another, that worships with one another, that sings with one another, and glorifies you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great week, folks.